Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad, or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Howdy, everyone. Welcome to the program. Hello, everyone, in the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room, also known as Chat Room. Always great to connect with you guys on every Wednesday. One of my favorite days of the week because I get to connect with all of you. Hi, everyone calling in, and that call-in number 347-539-5122 if some of other people are thinking of calling in as well. And I want to say hi to everyone listening later in the archives and, of course, those listening from iTunes and TuneIn Radio. I guess the BTR has been upgrading, so we have, like, upgrades in the back end. The switchboard and everything. So hopefully I can see all my callers because right now I can only see 4, so I know there's more. So hopefully it scrolls. Let's see how this goes. But always, if you don't get on at the beginning of the program where we do the Ask Michelle portion, readings, dream interpretation, just all kinds of questions within the related field, and you can ask things without the related field, too. I don't know if I'll be able to answer them. You never know. But we do this every Wednesday, 12 to about 12:45, 12:50 p.m., and then we have our Awakened guests come on, our Awakenings Dialogue. We are going to be getting to callers. You guys really fuel the show, you in the chat room. You guys ground the show. I say the chat grounds it. Feels it with some questions, but grounding, anchoring the energy, my co-hosts, my co-pilots, my sound engineers, let me know if the sound is okay or is not okay, and then the callers, all of you, you co-create the show, and we've got a great community here. You can also join me on the Awakenings Radio page on Facebook, come connect there, and also my personal profile page as well. The caller number again, 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122. Press 1 on your keypad, and that will get you in queue. Also want to let you know this, if you hear my little tea whistling, I didn't get my tea yet. Everybody knows I like my tea. Someday, you know, there's a show, I'm going to digress, there's a show on, in California, I'm in California, so... I think it's on PBS or something. I don't know. One of the kind of offbeat channels, and supposedly that PBS is so offbeat, but any of you that have cable out here in Southern Cal know that there's like one area of the kind of, it's like in the 200s of the channels, and sometimes it's hit or miss, but sometimes it's just you get these little gem of shows. And Benetta is her name, and she's British, and she moved to Japan, and it's all her life, and you see her getting her tea and going in her garden, and I thought, oh, I'd love to share all that with my wonderful friends in our Awakenings community. And I mean, I do a little bit, like it's kind of share my life and my viewpoint, of course, on the program, and then also on my Instagram, which is also Michelle Mache 1L. Share a bit about my world and what I'm doing and some of my other projects and art and, just kind of inspired quotes that I just, things that touch me, I guess, throughout the day. And I just think it's so cool that we all get to share with each other. And in this way, oh, we got some other people coming in the chat. Sound is good. Thanks, Lar. Thank you so much for letting me know that. Appreciate it. Yeah, so blessings and love to you, Tamara, also everyone in the chat. Love you guys so much. Love connecting with all of you. We've got such great group here. And today a great show, as a matter of fact. The second half of the program, we're going to have Spirit Recovery Medicine Bag. The author is Lee McCormick and Mary Faulkner. And it's a transformational guide for living happy, joyous, and free. So I hope you can stay around for that part of the program as well. We're going to dive into that. And I've been looking at the book, going through a bit, talking about recovery, which I think in some ways we're all in recovery, especially as we're awakening more and more. Which again brings me to the topic. I want to dive into a couple email questions, and then we will get to the phone lines and answer your questions or chat, see what everybody has to say. So just stay online, those of you that have called in, and press 1 if you want to get on air. And again, for those of you that are thinking of calling in, that number is 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad. I just had a question come in. What is the workshop? Oh, yes. Yeah, you could find out more about the teleworkshop. It's an online workshop, so you can call in via Skype. You can access the workshop through your computer or your telephone, and you can find out more information by going to shamanicinnerwork.eventbrite.com. And that's, oops, I'm sorry, that's what it is. I didn't put the com. So the Soul Path Workshop is this Sunday, the in-person one in L.A. is Saturday. And you can go to shamanicinnerwork.eventbrite.com. Sorry about that, gang. I forgot the com. Love it. Okay, Gail, you sent in, and this is Gail, G-A-I-L. You sent in a wonderful message, and I want to just share it with our listeners. And she said, "Hi, Michelle, you read for me a few months ago. I had emailed you my question. I wasn't in a grounded place at the time to really hear, quote unquote, your advice. I just played that show back and really heard you. Thank you so much for what you said. I just wanted to tell you thank you, though, and I really get it now, and I'm going to follow your advice. Hope to call in sometime in the future. I listen to your show while I work and really enjoy it." Hey, Gail at work. Hope you're hearing us now. We're all sending you a little etheric hug. Howdy doody. So I had quite a few questions. You know, I'd like to gather the questions, the email questions that come in, and then, you know, take time to address them. And we've had quite a few, because a lot of people emailing me about awakening, or Facebook messaging. You can do either one, or you can always email Awakenings Radio, Awakenings email, let me put that in the chat, is Awakenings, awakeningsradio@gmail.com. And any questions, guest suggestions, the producer is wonderful with that, really goes and checks out the guest to see if it's something, you know, that would fit in, that our listeners would like. I've got some good ones coming up. Oof, some really good ones and some panels. I'm so excited, but I'll tell you about that later. Anyway, so anything awakenings, whether it's guest suggestions, topic suggestions, questions that you want answered on air or comments, just email us at awakeningsradio@gmail.com. So what a bunch of questions, email questions came in, and I distilled it as the basic question is, what is awakening? What is an awakening? And I'm gonna tailor it a little bit to talk about what is awakening, what is actually awakening, what is an awakening. That's the reason the show is not just called Awakening, because we are in a process of continual awakening. And let me share with that. It's an unfolding, and there are many phases to it. So you don't just awaken. You don't just, it's like there's levels of consciousness as well. You know, there's, you know, we're obviously, people are conscious, there's some level of consciousness, but how conscious is one? And even medically, there's different levels of consciousness, right? So think of awakening like a flower. And many people, especially if you're a light worker or you're drawn to the metaphysics, many times you can trace your first awakening. Many of you hear me always ask the guest, what was your first awakening? Because there's always a first awakening. And then there's a succession of further awakenings that will happen in different parts of your life. Some of them can be emotional, mental, awakening beyond, past beliefs that are limiting. But basically, the awakening is awakening to the truth of who you are. And it starts with some kind of divine, what we call metaphysically or spiritually divine discontent. There's some discontent. There's something that you're either questioning. There's always a questioning. There's always a, Colin Campbell talked about this a lot, in the myth of the hero, the hero's journey of going out, prodigal son or daughter. You go, the myth of that is you have to leave the home to then come back. You have to leave your environment. You have to leave what you know and then come back. And so that opens us to the awakening to the truth of who we are. So we are in this particular point of awakening because we've had spiritual awakenings. There's a lot of those where you recognize that you are a spirit, you are energy, that there is a spiritual force that is this world, is this universe or universes. There's the physical, we had a physical awakening years ago when there was all body, mind, spirit. Awakening of what the body can do, the mystery of the body. There is awakening now called a soul awakening, where people are waking up to the fact that they are a soul, that they're here for a reason, for a purpose, that they have a blueprint, that they are a design. And inherent in that design is the idea of perfection, right? It's like you design a car, right? You design a house, there's a blueprint. It's meant to have its doors where it has its doors. If it's a car, it's meant to have its wheels, the type of wheels it does, the type of navigation system. If it's a house, it's meant to have the stairs, the steps, the levels that it is. Is it a tri-level? Is it a two-story house? Is it a ranch style? Whatever style it is, there's nothing wrong with it. It's the style that it is. A tri-level house isn't looking at the two-story and saying, there's something wrong with you because you're a two-story. It says, no, you're a two-story. You're meant to be a two-story. So eventually people will be really the full awakening. And I do go into this in my daily OM course, Navigating the Great Soul Awakening, which is what I came here to talk about. That's my whole thing has been for years and years and years, even before I even knew what I was talking about. I mean, I was sharing information on it, and I knew from my guides, you're here to help people awaken and talk about the soul alignment. That's what they told me. You're here to help people with soul alignment. And people, what's that? Now you hear it all the time. And, and I'm not the only one saying this. There's other people as well going, I kind of got these mission papers and was doing it a long time ago. And sometimes that happens, as a beacon of light, a way shower. You have information that yet its time is not there. That's also as an artist, right, as an innovator. Years ago I had a client who designed something and it wasn't taking off. He's in a technology world. And I remember giving him a reading, and I think this was about 2006 or something, 2005. And I said, don't worry, there's going to be something. I described basically the iPhone. And I said, there's something where people are going to be able to call and everything's going to be on it. And then he's like, what is that, a phone? I go, I don't know. I go, it's kind of a phone, but music. And I said, I don't know. There's all these things on there, and I see people doing all this stuff. And I said, your software will really take off. And I think he kind of had like a prototype of an app. Of course, we really didn't have apps back then. And, of course, what happens 3 years later, 4 years later, boom. So there's a lot that hangs. You call it the mind of God, the mind of the all that is, the collective unconsciousness, the stream of consciousness, the infinite mind. There are a lot of things, ideas, beliefs that hang there, and some get funneled through. You think of the bicycle. Where did the bicycle come from? I love that example. Where did the bike? A lot of people had an idea of something like that, but it took one person to follow through on that download, if you will. So the soul is so important, and awakening to that, you know, and I'll be honest, when you really start awakening to what the soul is, that you are a soul, that you are a soul being, that you're in this phase of becoming more and more awake, more and more aware, more and more authentic, you know, more and more you, more and more, you're becoming more and more love and sharing that through creations. As you really begin to get that, there's certain doctrines that, and certain ways of being that you find that might be limiting, you know. And again, that's where that divine discontent comes in. So there are all kinds of awakenings in your life. You'll have, you know, it brings more consciousness in, conscious awareness, because we are consciousness made manifest. We are spirit in physical form that happens to have a design to us. You know, everything has a design that gets manifested physically. Everything comes from a prototype. You know, everything. You make jewelry, you do, you know, engraving, whatever. Everything comes from something. There's an original, an origin point. And we come from an origin point that has many points universally, many points of references, many interconnections. That is the field of resonance that we are. We're not only within the field of resonance, but we are the field of resonance. It's like chakras. We're not only have a chakra system, we are a chakra system and part of a grander chakra system. Because all a chakra is a vortex of energy. It's like ley lines. It's where there's an intersection of energy. One comes from the north, you know, north, south, east, west, or left, right, right, left. There's an intersection that happens, vertical, horizontal, there's a plane. And within that is what we call reflecting consciousness. And that's what we are. We're reflecting consciousness in physical form. And that's part of what we're meant to do. We're meant to, you know, manifest from our heart, our sense of being, our truth. And so look for your awakenings, you know, for some that becomes more intuitive. You know, I would say for all there's an opening to your intuition, whether you become more psychic, whether you, you know, have healing energy. But there is more of an awareness, you know, to what degree depends on your design. You know, that's why there really is no judgment. That's why one of the great afflictions on the path is comparing, when we over compare ourselves, because our design is perfect. Innately, it's perfect. You know, I always say that's why on my Instagram, I have, you know, I have the little description, you know, perfect in my imperfection, you know, and it is, you know, and I am, you know, it is, yeah, I'm perfect, you know, mystic yogini, eternally flawed in perfection, unfolding and discovering. And that is me, you know, I'm perfect in my imperfection. I'm very imperfect, you know, and I kind of like that, actually. I kind of like the oddity that I am, that we all are. You know, we have our quirks. Years ago, I remember a friend, we got in a little kind of a tiffy, and I bought a similar T-shirt anyway. Got a little tiffy, and I said, oh, you know, that's your quirk. You know, you don't like people having clothes like yours or similar. I don't have a quirk. And I go, we all have quirks. You know, we got to, that's our uniqueness, our quirkiness, you know, our little oddity parts of us, or how things fit together that logically shouldn't fit together. That's what makes us unique. That's what connects us to our soul. You know, I always tell people, you know that you're living more soul-led when, or soul-fueled or soul-fulfilled, is when you have the more paradox in your life, when you have things that just kind of feel right, but don't really look right, don't look right on paper, you know, or you can't quite describe or rationalize. You know, it just is. It is what it is. And, you know, as when you connect more on a soul level, you're connecting more to the co-creator aspect of you. And we are all co-creating this wonderful existence and this new paradigm, allowing more of the new emerging consciousness to come in. We're up-leveling, you know, and you can see this in all sectors of life. And so when you're doing that, when you're connecting in with yourself that way, or allowing this emerging and not trying to resist and put yourself in a little cookie cutter box, you know, that perhaps seems very safe. You'll see that you have a lot of likes, you know, that you could be quite divergent. You could be, you know, it's hard to describe, you know, when you look at things that are hard to describe, it's coming from the soul, because the soul is very varied. You know, it has a lot of ways it likes to express and experience life. So that's one way you know that you're awakening, because that was one of the questions. How do you know if you're awakening? And that divine discontent, the wanting something more, the wanting to be more creative, the wanting to be in more collaborative or co-creative relationship is also another key that you are awakening. Also being able to see the flaws of people and to see how, ready to forgive, let go. You know, I had something a while back with somebody, and actually I was talking to a friend of mine, and we were talking about this person, and I said, oh, I actually saw a side of him that I really wish I hadn't seen. It wasn't pleasant. And I said, it's really not a great side. And I said, and she said, what? And I go, but you know what? I really am over that. I said, I really don't care. I said, I let go of it. I forgive him. I moved on. And I said, I kind of miss him. I miss his cooking. He's a great cook. You know, I was just like, whatever. So it's like, when you're awakening, when you know that you're really connecting on a soul level and really being spirit-filled, you know, with that universal energy, being connecting to you spiritually, when the things that people do, yeah, they hurt you, and you know, you got to nurse your wounds a little bit, you kind of move on because you can see how they've done what they've done or you've done what you've done. You don't have time to hold on because you're seeing bigger picture. You're going more macrocosm than microcosm. You're going more universalist. You're going more, wow, look at all the other stuff that's happening in the world. You know, where can I do my thing, shine my light? How can I uplift? You go more into that. And again, it's not to say that you don't, you know, handle issues emotionally or cry or get upset or angry. It's just the time that you hold on and nurse your pain is less. You know, you don't, not is it? You know, you don't, like some people believe in this pain body. Well, there's no pain body. There's only one. It all is perfect. You know, yeah, you have pain. You have emotional pain. You have emotional, what's the opposite to non-pain? You have emotional euphoria and upliftment as well. It's all in the same bag. And the more that you can see your humanness as divine, as a gift, the more that you can see the magic and the mystery of what seems to be flawed, the more you're awakening. There's just, I find that the more you awaken, that there's just much more humor, and you snap back more like a rubber band, you know? And I always love the story, a friend of mine that works with the Dalai Lama very closely, I love this story, this little tidbit, and this to me sums it up, and then we're going to move into calls. He got mad at somebody, and I think he actually even hit him, thumped him on the head or something, and he just flared up. And then he stopped and just laughed out loud, and then moved on, and then just was in this mode. That's the thing, you know, if you got to be able, because you're going to lose it every now and then as a human being. You know, we got our little issues, you know. I love what Tamara put. It's the spiritual maturity to realize people just are messy. That's the truth. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't take things quite so seriously the more we awaken. So true. So true. Yeah, you can just start thinking, am I going to just add to the confusion, or am I going to bring more light of clarity, whether it's personally in your life or, you know, community-wise, globally, you know, internationally, universally, are you adding to that? What are you adding to? But the thing is, when you really start to the deeper levels of awakening, or more expanded levels of awakening, which is beyond intuition, beyond healing, it's more of an everyday kind of attitude, you don't even necessarily think it. You're in the process of it, and then you realize even with this person, people were saying, oh, you better watch out or this. And I was like, oh, God, I have no time for this. You know, they're thinking of war and bombs. There's so much going on that, you know, on the kind of a fighting level. Who cares? Let's get on with our creativity. Let's get on with sharing, connecting, sharing, loving. Let's get on with that. You know, that's kind of where I'm at. So thank you for those questions. We had Shara, Jody, James, and Paul had also put that in. And we'll touch more on that throughout the program, I'm sure, and in the coming weeks. Let's get to those calls. 408-368, welcome to the program. You're on Awakening.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Who is this?
Hi, this is Sheila.
Who is it?
This is Sheila.
Oh, hey, Sheila. Hi. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I have a question for you. So a while back you mentioned that I may be getting a new job after I move to San Francisco. And you said it was going to come out of nowhere, like not that I was actively looking. And I have a friend that's working at a company in San Francisco. And she sent me, like, an opening that they have, and I applied. And I've been interviewing with them. Yeah, so I have my final
interview. That is great. Oh, my God. Yeah.
So
well, I feel the new job. I feel something very close, so that's, And she's...
Okay, so it's with Uber, and... I'm, like, excited about it. I mean, I haven't gotten the job yet. I have my final interview next week, and I just kind of wanted to see how you see that going, if you think this, like, you know, if it's going to go well, if they're going to offer me the job, and if I should get it. I'm just kind of, like, I'm excited but scared, and, yeah.
Well, it's a departure. Now I'm recalling the call because I felt that you were going to be doing something different than what you're doing. Right? It's different for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's still, I do project management with systems, so it's still that.
But it's a different, but it's not, is it, yeah, but it's something different, it seems like, what?
Yeah, it's going to be, I'm going to be doing them from the very beginning instead of, like, a later stage. And it's going to be a bigger role.
Okay. But it's a different sector, right?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so that's different. Yeah. So the only little issue, have you guys talked salary yet? That might be a little bit, you might not be so pleased with that. Is that true? Is there?
Oh, I don't know. We haven't talked about that yet.
Okay, because it does show getting into that, or there could be some kind of different way that they pay, some kind of, I don't know, incentive in the beginning. I don't know. There could be something. You said Uber?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's look. That's the best perspective you should take. Because I'm showing a new job. It's showing expect cooperation. It's showing expect there could be some subtle changes. So if it's not right away or there's a delay, it does show, it is showing a new job coming in. But there seems to be a little bit of something, a little subtle change. Are there more people you have to meet?
Yeah, so I'm meeting,
I have my final
interview next week. It's next Tuesday, and it's with a Bunchable, and I think I have to create, like, a presentation and do all this stuff.
Okay, so it's more involved. That's what, okay. Because it does show, like, expect some subtle changes, so you could either hear from them, do the interview, then not hear from them, they could bring you back even again to either finalize something or what about this. I feel they're very, and maybe it's just that world, very kind of detailed with what they want. I mean, very specific. But I think expect cooperation, expect it to come through. I think it's going to be down to you, you know.
Okay.
Whether you want it or not. But definitely I feel your move, now I'm recalling you, me seeing you move. Yeah, and I definitely feel you getting a new job in San Francisco and also bringing new people around you. So there's like a whole new up-leveling for you. Yeah. Keep us posted with it, though. Keep us posted.
Okay. I will. All right.
Thanks
for
calling in. You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye. Yay. All right, callers, if you want to get on air, press that 1 on the keypad. I see lots of people, but not necessarily pressing 1 on the keypad. But I might still just pick up the, put you in the queue. Let's see. Okay. Hi, 323-656.
Hi, Michelle. It's Krista. Hi.
Hey, Krista. Welcome.
I'm good. How are you? I started that new job, and it's been great, like you said it would be.
Oh, great.
And it's perfect. It's so great. And so I know last time we were talking, you said that you felt a lot of New York energy around me, which is really funny because this guy that came, that I've known for a while, came in, back into town from New York, and we been talking and hanging out, and I know I hate asking about guys.
Why? I like answering about guys.
Because I don't want it to define me. But I'm really curious because I feel like I always pick the wrong guy. You know, I'm trying to, you know, find self-love, and I've realized there's a lot of narcissism in my family and with the men that I choose. And so just wanting
that.
To kind of see, and I've been dealing with that. And so just kind of want to see, like, if this is something that I should really, truly invest my time into, because right now I'm not that emotionally, like, I'm not so involved, you know, with him where I could be like, see ya.
But that's good. It does say take it slow with him. Here's the thing, and at my urging of a great client and friend of mine, Lori, I'm going to be at some point writing a book on this. I'm doing an article and I'm doing an outline, but on relationship, it's not so much picking the wrong guy because we pick from where we've come from.
Right.
It's either or guy or girl. You know, let me just disclaimer. It could be girl for girl, guy for guy, girl, guy, whatever. A partner.
We're not all open.
Right. So what it is how long you stay or how, you just said the word, invested, or how close they get into the inner circle. Mm-hmm. So as soul beings, we never really like to cut anybody off. To me, it's like the martial artist. In martial arts, there's a saying that you should never really have to get in. I can't remember how exactly it went, but you know, because years ago I did kickboxing and some other karate. So, yeah, you should never have to really get in the fight. You should see it coming. So they would prefer to cross the street. But you're so aware of your energy, your energetic pattern, your energetic beingness, and the person that's around you that you can see that person's a little shifty or that dog is I feel something off, and you just cross the street.
Yeah.
So I do feel this guy, it is. Now, did you see him before? Were you dating him before, hanging out before?
No, we worked together a while ago. And
oh, that's
I
what it
hadn't
is. Okay, because I feel like
seen him.
I was getting you knew him before. Okay.
Yeah, we worked together, but, yeah, not together, no. And so we just got back into town, and we've always talked, but it wasn't anything, you know, he was in New York.
Yeah, but now is he back in? Because I see him around you more.
He's back here, yeah. But you know, he travels a lot for work as well.
That's what I was gonna say, yeah. Because I see him back again traveling. Yeah, I would he's in New York now because I feel him not close to you or you know.
No, he's in like Utah or something. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Somewhere. I don't know. Could be lying.
And do you mind saying either first name or initial?
Oh, yeah. His name's Jason.
Okay, perfect. Okay. Okay, well, it's definitely showing the work relationship, and it's definitely showing go with the flow that there's going to be a lot of kind of twists and turns in this relationship.
Yeah.
Have you been feeling that already?
Because, you know, my timing sucks, too. a lot.
No, no.
Boys.
That's the thing. No, you go. Well, no. Now, if you just stay open and if you like the guy's company, like hanging out with him, just hang. Here's the thing. You know, I've been seeing this a lot over the years. A lot of times, and I was just talking to a client about this yesterday in session. I'm like, sometimes people, you're dating, you misinterpret, and everybody does this, you misinterpret what the other person is doing, taking it personally. Everyone has their own cycle of intimacy. And relationships, I kind of see them like a hawk or an eagle. You know how they, hawks or eagles, they kind of circle before they dive for something?
Yeah.
Well, some people circle a long time. They're, you know, they're circling a long-ass time. No, you're like, what are you like?
Yeah.
Come on, land. You know?
Yeah.
And some people do 2-3 circles, and there they are, some 3 or 4, some circle, land, and go back up. So it's kind of not getting caught up in their stuff, because when people start connecting, and I didn't see this, obviously, with my married couples, even before they get married, and even when they're married, there's still, just like there's many types, many unfolding of awakening, there's many unfolding of intimacy. So when people start getting a little more intimate, they kind of start wigging out a little bit, you know, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I say don't, because I feel he really likes you and cares about you. I feel he's very, he's better in relationship, but I feel he's also been burned, and also there's something really about his career. He's very career focused right now.
Yeah.
There could be something even new coming in. So he's...
I get it.
You get it? Yeah, but I
get what you're saying.
Okay.
Because that's kind of how I felt, too. I was like, you know what? I'm going to wait a little bit longer to be intimate with him because I want to.
Cool.
You know, I was like, because every time I do that, it just never works. It's always winds up wrong. And I see that he needs to do his thing, and I'm definitely need to do my thing. I'm just started this new job.
Perfect.
You know, I'm in the process of, like, trying to find a new place. You know, it's about me, too. So...
You know,
I get what you're saying.
You might, you know, whether it's him or someone else, because I do see you with somebody that does travel quite a bit and kind of a New York, L.A. thing, and I can see you even spending time in New York personally and professionally. And sometimes things just take longer to get off the runway. And here's another thing. When you are more conscious, there's less jumping in and jumping out of something. Because it's like also, you know, anyway, there's been some astrological aspects, too, that are causing things to kind of slow down, you know. So there can be things like maybe there's school ahead. You know, there could be things right now for a lot of people in relationship that it's saying, don't give up. If you feel that genuine connection, that's not going to go away. Just the outer circumstances right now are making it happen slower. And that's what I feel what's going on with you with this guy. So... I feel at some point you probably are going to meet up with him out of the area, or you're going to be doing business not just in L.A., but New York, and meet up with him there as well. So, yeah, I would say trust your intuition on that. You want to, you know, take it slower, let it unfold more. Because I do see a genuine connection and a genuine like each other care, like being around each other, and it does show you seeing him when he gets back.
Yeah.
I think he liked you before. I think there was a connection before, like either you were with somebody else or he was, or just it couldn't play out for some reason.
Yeah, well, I know that we connected when we were on the show, but like we didn't even, you know, I was working with him, so I don't, you know, I don't do that really. I try not to date people
No, but what I mean, I know that. But what I'm saying is that he felt some kind of connect. You know, there was some kind of not just work, but like liking somebody. You know, like oh, this person.
Yeah, like I definitely
cool.
was like, oh, this guy's kind of cute, but I just didn't act on it very much. And so, you know, a year's gone by, and I know he was in New York, and he was trying to get, you know, back together with his ex-girlfriend, and it didn't work out, and he came back, and now he's trying to figure out his stuff, you know, so that's
right.
also a reason to take it really slow.
Yes, yes. Boy, that's
you know,
so true.
Because that's another thing, if they're
Let
not
them,
there,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
and that's another, you know,
Once
especially when you get older, you try and force it.
Yeah, yeah, so true. One thing I've been seeing a lot in relationship with people, I'd say the last few years is that there's people that are really wanting, and I keep saying ask for conscious playmates in all areas of your life. When things are too, not circumstantial difficult, but when you're trying to make something work with somebody, let's say the guy wants to, you know, build his career, the girl wants to have kids right now. Those are like not only red flags, those are like 3D, three-dimensional neon flags. Because it's definitely screaming,
yeah,
not right timing. If your values, principles, and beliefs are not in alignment, if they are in alignment, even if circumstance, like logistics, one person lives one place or they travel a lot, that stuff can be ironed out and handled, and the universe will beautifully take care of that. You know, our last caller was an example of that, actually, by moving to San Francisco. If things will line up with the person. But if there's core things like, you know, I want to be a stay-at-home mom, and the guy is thinking I want a partner, I want somebody that's creative, it's not going to work. Or vice versa, the guy wants to stay at home, and the woman, you know, whatever it is. When those things are there, if after a couple conversations those can't be hashed out, it's speaking to bigger problems down the road, that it's just not going to be a match. But for you, I don't feel any of that. I feel you guys are both kind of in the same, you know, very similar area, you know, focus.
I do. Yeah, I do too, because even the first time that we met, we kind of talked about stuff like that, and then we were on the same page.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Because, you know, I mean, you get older, that's something you kind of, we were talking about family and, you know, Pat, a little bit, but I go deep pretty quick.
Well, it's because you're more conscious, though. Believe me, there's a lot of people out there that don't do that. There's a lot of people that just are not, even their age could be older, but they're not relating consciously. You know, they have their agenda in their mind, and that's what they're trying to imprint on somebody else. So, Krista, thank you for calling in. You just posted.
Thank you.
Great to hear your voice.
Good to hear your voice. Thank you so much.
Bye. Bye. Okay, let's see. Wait, was this you? Krista, is that you? 323-638?
Oh, hey, Michelle, it's me, Angela.
Hey, Angela. Welcome.
So, calling back this week since taking your advice last week, and I just wanted to give you an update.
Okay,
So, let's see. I was, like, your advice was to take a break from this guy that I am friends
emotional
with,
break.
But like...
You can still talk to him, but emotional break. You can still talk to him, but some emotional space for your healing. Yeah. How'd it go? What do you...
Oh, it's going great.
Oh, my God.
I tend to be a bit hardcore when I dive into something. So
yeah.
I basically removed him from my phone list. I basically distanced myself. Like, I basically cut him out of my life symbolically just so that I could get the break, the space I want to heal. And now I'm feeling so much better. Like, I'm glad. Like, your advice really hit home. Like, it was on target for me. Like, I don't feel much of the sadness or angst now. It's, like, dissipating. And I just feel so much better. Yeah, like, last week it was tough because I didn't have that break before. And I'm, like, person since December of last year. So, since December of last year till my Hawaii trip, it just didn't have that break, right? So now I have a break, and it's I just feel so much better.
Good. I'm glad to hear. Yeah, because what happens when we take that break, whatever it looks like, it's just the space, allowing the healing space, it lets our own body-mind recalibrate. Because, you know, it's like when you're in a relationship, such as you know, you were, you know, many people are, there's literally a pattern that's set up, you know, a routine.
Yeah.
You could call it energetically, there's akka cord. There's literally reference points that hang up, you know, in our body-mind system energetically that, you know, it's like a, you know, two things are fitting together. And then when it's no more like that, you have to recalibrate. And our body-mind will do that. Our emotional, mental, you know, body will do that. Our physical body will recalibrate if we allow that. It's kind of like when you, you know, sprain your ankle or something, the doctor says, you know, don't go jogging on it for a while, you know, you got to rest it. And so we really need to do that emotionally too in relationships. When something goes awry, we need to have that time to allow that recalibration.
Yeah.
So great. So you're recalibrating. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
You know, I was thinking, okay, like something similar along those same lines happened 10 years ago. And I just don't want to repeat the lesson. I think I'm getting the lesson, though. Like, I think it's, I feel it's to listen to my heart and gut instead of having my head try to be clever and make something work and to get more in touch with my sensual side. But I don't know what you're picking up from, like, because it's kind of mirroring something that happened 10 years ago. So I'm like, huh, this is probably not a coincidence that it happened again. Because...
No.
Uh-huh.
No. Well, look at what you did back then and look what you can do now. I think if you put yourself in the equation, and this is for all of us, whatever we're going through, if we put ourselves in the equation, you know, I also like in the therapeutic model, you know, in counseling, there's what we call an objectifying process. Because sometimes it's hard to do things subjectively. It's hard sometimes, like, you know, oh, I can handle this or whatever. But you can do what's called an objective process, which means ask yourself, what would I do? What would I say or what would I suggest if this was my daughter going through this or this was my son? Or what would I suggest to my girlfriend if she was going through this or a really good friend? What advice would I do? What advice would I give? And then listen to that and then give yourself that advice. So we objectify. So we, so you pull yourself out of your normal pattern, you know, the reactive pattern, like, you know, whatever that is, whatever the script is that's going, I could be there, or, you know, now we're just friends, you know, we moved into the friend mode even though we were dating, or I got my heart hurt. But what would you tell that daughter of yours? What would you suggest? And objectify. Right. And then from there, you know, I mean, I've had people that I've worked with and, you know, let's just say a similar situation. They're like, well, I would tell them, think of yourself, take care of yourself. And then I'll ask the person, I go, well, why won't you do that for yourself then? If that's the best advice you'd give to your daughter or your son or, you know, a really close friend, you know, think of yourself or, you know, love yourself also or take time to heal or take a break, you know, then why wouldn't you tell yourself to do that?
Yeah, I like that distancing so you could be more objective.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, we need to move on because we've got our next guest calling. Angela, I love always talking to you. Call in this week.
Okay, thank you.
We'll
okay,
catch up.
I will.
We'll
okay. Okay, thank you. Okay.
Hi, 818-850. You're on Awakened Radio.
Hi, Michelle. It's Gail.
Hey, Gail. With
I have a question for
I'm
you.
Hearing a delay. Okay.
I can hear that too.
Turn
I'm not
your
sure
radio.
Why.
Turn down your radio.
I don't have my radio
that's okay.
on.
I can that's okay.
Do you want me to call back in?
Call back in. I'll
all right.
Call back in.
All right. Go ahead. All right.
Okay. I mean, I like my voice, but okay. I'm going to get one. I think the 9. See, while she's calling in, Gail, 901-406. You're on Awakenings Radio.
Hi.
Welcome to the program.
Hi. This is Lanice.
Lanice. Hi, Lanice. Welcome. What's your question?
My question is, what do you see for me for a relationship?
Okay, what do I see?
Anything coming up?
Okay, what's coming up? And this is date, because we're always in relationship. We're relationship to everything and everyone. So you're asking for a significant other, right?
Yes.
Partnership.
Yeah.
Okay. You seem to have a new cycle coming in December to like February, March. I feel like there could be somebody either end of January, February. And look for October, November, somebody from the past coming in. There is going to be someone from your past coming back around, and you're going to wonder, is this him? Is this going to be the one? And I think that's going to be one of the ones. We have many ones, but I feel like more lifetime partner is more next year. And for some reason, I feel something around February for you. There it is, November and then into February. Is there someone around you right now that's kind of more of a friend?
Yeah, that's what we've been calling ourselves, and we have a lot in common. But now he's kind of wandered off. I haven't talked to him in about a week, and I was wondering what is going on now.
He's freaking out. Weak as nothing. People freak out. Women freak out too, but you know, unless you have a lot of male energy, women don't tend to. They freak and stay. Men freak and wind out and wind back in. And I wouldn't put him off the, you know, off your list, so to speak, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is him, then it's going to tighten up. Yeah, there it is. It is. But it's probably going to take till about February for it to tighten up. Because it does show somebody returning around you. Like I said, October, November, which isn't that far off. And then I see a little bit of a dissipating. And then, you know, guys get weird also. Not all. I don't want to generalize. Not all guys and not all women. But there is a little bit of a script running when it comes to holidays. I remember when I was growing up, you know, even in my 20s, and I'd bring guys home to meet my family, and people would be, oh my God, you really must like him, or this must be, you know, something, the one, or really important. I'm like, no, I'm from a Latin family. We have people over all the time, even stay over, you know, we cook and get enchiladas and tacos, and, you know, I'd be like, hey, come over and hang, you know, you're in the area, come and visit, or I'm going to dinner on Sunday. Do you want to come with? So some things are cultural, but a lot of guys, you know, then there's Valentine's Day. Oh, I don't want to ask her out, you know, right around that day. I'm going to disappear a week before. If they're not yet ready because they're reading things into it. So I feel this guy you're with, that's what he's going through, you know?
Yeah, it's like he's a little scared or something.
Well, scared, whatever.
I don't know.
They're just wigging out. They're in their own process. So you just don't want to get into it. You don't want to get into their process because it's their process. You could never figure it out. And then, by the way, because I've tried that before, you try to figure is it something I said? If there's a connection there, then there's a connection. And now if the person, you know, Just allow it to be, you do your thing, you know, go out, do whatever you're doing. A week is not a long time. I feel he'll wind back in. But if it's him, it doesn't tighten up till after the holidays. Okay?
Well, he's got me wondering, and I'm trying not to do that wondering thing and figure out, well, why hasn't he called and blah, all that.
I know. I hear you. I know.
Yeah.
It's the mind. And believe me, it's even worse when you're intuitive because then you're trying to figure it out.
I wish I didn't have this going on because you really try to figure it out.
I know.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you see him involved with another woman?
No, I just think he's you guys are getting closer.
Yeah, it's like the last time we were together.
Don't ever worry about the other woman. You know, I never worried about the other woman when I was dating. Don't worry about the other woman. There's no competition.
I feel that too.
Your sassy self.
I guess
it's never about, if they were with the other woman, then there's something, you know, whatever. Is there something wrong with that? But, yeah, just let it be and get some healthy diversions for yourself. Thanks
Got
for calling
it. I have
me.
A list.
Keep listening.
I have a list
Good.
For the weekend. I found out what's going on in the city. It's hot Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I'm going to be out there.
Good for you. Get that list. I love it. Get it. Go out. Just be your
yes.
sassy self. Have a great time.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's what I'm going to do.
All right, Louise. Keep listening. We've got a guest coming on in a bit. And let's get to the next caller, 818-850. Welcome to Awakening.
Is the echo gone?
Yes.
Hello?
Yay. Yep, it's gone.
That's good. I just had a quick question for you. An opportunity's come up to sign up for a business class to help promote different, well, I guess different career parts of myself, and I was really considering signing up for it. Well, actually, I did, but I wanted to check with you and see what you thought about it.
I think it's great. I think...
It was a big step. I mean, I'm scared.
Yeah. No, I feel like you're in this whole growth expansion mode, so I think that's great that you're embracing that part of yourself and even seeing yourself that way and embracing it, recognizing that this is an aspect of you, you know, and an important part of you. So, no,
well, when
I
started filling out the questionnaire, yeah, when I started filling out the questionnaire, I was, like, shocked at all the stuff that I had to write down an offer, and I was like, wow, I really do need to get out
wow.
there.
Wow. Yes, you do. That's right, you do. And I think this is a
right.
huge step towards that.
All right, great. That's
well,
what I wanted
Gail.
To check in with.
Thank you.
All right.
Keep us
thank
posted.
You, bye.
I love hearing people.
All right.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Wow. And speaking of awakening, Gail, you just brought this up. Our last caller, definitely a huge awakening is when we start connecting with more aspects of ourselves. You know, why not be the business person, astrologer, artist, all of it, mother, father, whatever, you know, all those parts. You don't have to stop something because now you're a mother or you're a father or you're this or this age or that age or now I need to retire. I have to think, no, there's so much room to do it all. Okay, we're waiting for our guests. I don't know if they've called in. I'm looking for a 615-330 number or 615-707 number. And so waiting for our guests to come on. So we'll take another call. Hi, 609-468. Welcome to Awakening.
Hi, Michelle. This is Karen. How are you?
Hey, Karen. I'm doing great. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. I was just calling because this month I had my birthday, and I was calling to see if anything positive is going to be happening this year. I feel new things are coming, but not sure exactly what.
Okay, let's see. Well, you know, a lot of people I'm feeling a lot of expansion and growth. And again, just like when Gail, our last caller, calling in, which is such a good example of that, the more that we can express and experience more of us on all levels, you know, that is it. When we're holding ourselves back, whether it's from being in relationship or maybe we're a gifted astrologer or artist and we're not putting ourselves out there, we're meant to put ourselves out there. And I have on my Instagram a little picture, one of, used to be in a meditation student of mine made a little, I did a little video and I said, you're meant to be noisy in your life. And he did a little, he took that picture, I don't know, made some, out of the video, made a still frame and then put that on there, make some noise in your life or be noisy in your life. And we are here to do. I mean, people say you're not a human doing, but yeah, we are here to do. We're not, we are human beings. We're here to be ourselves, but we're here to do, to express, to experience. There's an action in that. Especially with Uranus and Aries now astrologically, it's poking everybody, you know, pushing us out there more, nudging us. So I feel for you, Karen, there's a lot of pushing, a lot of nudging for you to meet new people, to expand your circles, what I'm hearing, and to be open to like-minded individuals. And I do feel... One of them is not just one relationship. There's a lot of relationships. You know, I'm getting for a lot of people in the queue, a lot of people in the chat, also a lot of you that are listening, you know, by your computer and also in the archives or iTunes. Look for major releasement and changes January, February, and maybe even Gail that called in, Divine Mystic, may know something astrologically. But I'm seeing, for a lot of people, I'm seeing a lot of releasing and opening. And which will be 8 to 10. It'll be numerically, it'll be a 10 cycle universally for everyone or collectively. So expect new pathways and new people, you know, around you. And seeing that also for you, Karen. So expect the close of the year to bring you into some new circles where you will be connecting with more people for relationship, as well as I do see a special someone next year.
Sure, okay. Okay. I was calling to confirm too that you said that relationship I was in wasn't going to work out, but I gave it my 100%, even though I knew it wasn't going to work out. I was all in it, so that for me was the first time, because usually I have one foot out the door.
Excellent. So. And something to know for everybody, whatever it is, work, relationship, or personal, you know, we've been kind of entrained, you know, brainwashed into there's only one. But there are many ones, and as you're more connected to your soul, you're going to have many connections, soul connections. You know, there's many soulmates. That's why, you know, I did that article for Mind, Body, Green. I said, ask for a life mate that's also a soulmate. So
I think that's what I made the mistake of, asking for a soulmate, not the life partner.
No, it's not a mistake. No, because some of us are meant to have more than one special relationship, more than one coupley thing. You know, there's been this idea, like the goal has been to be with somebody for 30, 40, 50, 75, 8, you know, years, sometimes 80 years. That's some people's path. Some of it was also due to economics, that was pushed, that you stay with somebody because, you know, the old dynamics of what marriage used to be. So please, everybody out there, don't take it as a failure if you have more than one marriage, more than one, you know, long-term relationship or live-in situation or whatever. You didn't fail. You're following your own blueprint. You know, you're following. Because I don't feel that relationship for you, Karen, was a mistake, and I feel you being all in it and present to it. Is a beautiful thing, is an optimal thing, a positive thing. It's just now you're refining. That's you completed something there, you know. But what's going to happen is I feel the next one will be, you know, more lasting, longer lasting chronologically, because it'll be more aligned with your values, principles, and beliefs.
Okay, that's a good thing to hear. Thank you.
Yeah, but no mistake. I can't wait to get this book. I really want to just bust that myth. There's a few myths I want to bust. The one is the Abraham and secret stuff about, you know, just think positive and positive things happen, or if, you know, this is, you know, we are not recipes or cliches. We're complex individuals, complex beings that can live very simply. We have simple needs and wants, but we're so complex. So all of you out there, please try to, common sense, try not to be recipe cookie cutter, you know, just try to get into the nuances in your life, and there you're going to find so much more you know, magic and fulfillment. Okay, that's my little soapbox moment.
Thank you.
Thanks, Karen, you brought it out in me.
Thanks.
I see everyone's beauty so much, and Tamara's putting yes, go with the excited feeling. Ooh, Fountainhead, I love it. Like this, like the facets of the diamond, soulmates are part of the stone, not the top part. Ooh, woohoo. Thank you, Fountainhead. That's beautiful. They're part of the stone, not just the top part. Yeah. This is what excites me. As we live more this way, we free up all this constricting dogma is going to be falling by the wayside. We had all these little manuals of how to go to school, do this, do that. You know, it's like a kind of being on a conveyor belt. And we're just so much, you know, some of those things work for some people for a long time, some for a little time. But I can assure you, if you are growing, if the more you're connecting to your soul, the less you're going to be able to prescribe to what other people are saying, including me. You're going to take what I say and you're going to individualize it. You're going to amplify. You're going to be saying less and less and less, Abraham said this and I do this, or Reverend so-and-so, or Mr. this, or Minister this, or my teacher this, my teacher that. You're going to start saying, I feel this. I think this. I heard what so-and-so said, and I also agree. Or I listened to your advice, and that was good. And now I do this, and now I learn this, and now I, you're going to come not from the narcissistic I, but the I am that I am, your own truth, your own personal truth. That's where we're going. You know, I don't want anybody following what I say. I'm sharing my experience and what I get intuitively, but I want to hear, what did you do? What is your truth? What do you think? You know, I don't want, I can read other people's books and find out what they think. I want to know your truth because I see your light. I see your perfection, your divinity, your wisdom. And that's what I'm really trying to share by having these guests on, is how to, you guys, to live from your wisdom, your truth, how to live your, you know, your artist way, you know, live your own individuality. And doing that is a recovery time that has to happen to recover from where we've been entrained, if you will, or from trauma or wounding. But once you start healing more, you automatically connect into the soul. Anyway, it is time for our Awaken Dialogue, and we have today with us Lee McCormick, who is the founder of the Ranch Recovery Center in Nunley, Tennessee, and the Canyon Treatment Center, very well known, in Malibu, California. He's also the co-founder of Nashville's Integrative Life Center and IOP/HP Community Recovery Program, also in Nashville, Tennessee. He's executive producer of the documentary Dreaming Heaven, in which he plays the leading role. And he's also the author of the Spirit Recovery Meditation Journal, Meditations for Reclaiming Your Authenticity, and co-author of Dreaming Heaven, The Beginning is Near, and also author of the book that I was sharing with you at the top of the program, Spirit Recovery Medicine Bag, A Transformational Guide for Living Happy, Joyous, and Free. Really want to give a warm welcome to Lee McCormick. Welcome to the program, Lee.
Hi, thanks. It's good to be
here. Hi. Yes, great to have you on. Love your book, by the way. Love the title of the book. Yeah. I wanted to, I highlighted a couple things I really want to cover, but I do want to dive in a little bit to your past and what you would consider your first awakening, and then your awakening to the deeper work that you're doing, a more expansive work, to, like what is covered in Spirit Recovery Medicine Bag.
Okay. Well,
so what would you consider your first awakening? Or was there a first awakening?
Oh, God. You know, it's an interesting question. That's why I'm considering that. I
love that.
You know, my belief, or my experience was, I think, you know, of course we all start out as kids. And my experience of life is as a child, I mean, we all have ups and downs, and, you know, our families are great some days and a mess some other days. And but the world to me when I was younger, and I mean, even up until, well, you know, really kind of always, there was always a thread or an awareness with me that there was a magic to life, and that magic in life, that you know, the fact that creation is all alive, that we live in this living, conscious place. I always had a bit of an awareness of that, but of course, being born into our culture here in the U.S., we're not taught to pay any attention to that kind of stuff. We're taught, you know, to jump in and get in the game and earn your value and earn your worth and, you know, do whatever it is you're supposed to do here that validates your existence. And so, you know, like a lot of people, I went off into chasing good enough you know, trying to find my spot kind of in life and in the world. And in doing that, move further and further away from that awareness of the magic, of the mystery, of, you know, the just the beauty of being connected to nature and what I call the big R reality, which is the natural world, the world that exists with or without the humans being here, you know, the fabric of life. And so I think for me it was more of I was born and asked what we really are. You know, we're all born as the truth of what we are. That doesn't change in my experience.
Yeah.
You know, and then we get out there and we take on these roles and these identities and we load up with all the baggage of our culture and our families and, you know, the issues of society that we inherit. And then we completely lose our authenticity to try and to live up to some other story and some other role. And so I think it was, you know, more than an awakening, I just kind of went off down the rabbit hole of the Matrix. That's the way I refer to it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, my waking up process was, you know, in the recovery world, there's that language around you have to hit bottom. Well, I never really bought that. I was like, you know, what we hit as a bottom is we hit the bottom of the frame of reality that we've been taught we must believe in, that we must buy into. And that frame of reality, from my experience, it's not even actually a reality. It's a human constructed dream that we have given all our faith, you know. And so it was really an opportunity. You know, the mess that I made of myself was not good. You know, the breaking my, you know, the things that I did that broke hearts of people that loved me and that went against, you know, my own integrity and that went against the people that I was in relate, my first wife and, you know, my first two little girls and just all of that stuff that comes with being out of control, you know, that's not good. But the truth is, in the long run, it took what it took to get me to pay attention and to realize that questioning the values of this culture, questioning the things I've been taught, I had to believe in, the opportunity to go there and sincerely question all that stuff was an opportunity that I would not give up for anything.
Tamara in the chat is saying, great point, we don't need to hit bottom. I think that's really amazing because it kind of frees up that you might have these deeper changes or be doing something maybe in your life that's not so optimal, but recognize you don't have to wait to hit this bottom or keep doing something until, like, you're waiting, well, I didn't hit bottom yet, you know.
Yeah.
In a way,
are you
also saying you don't have to have crises to make changes? Is that part of it as well? Or can you explain a little bit more? Somebody's saying another belief. What does he exactly mean by that, not having to hit bottom? Okay, we have a couple questions on that. If you could go over that.
Well, you know, I think it's... each of us is unique, you know. Every human in this world is a unique individual, and some of us come to a point of the willingness to change our life. We come to the point of saying, wait a minute, you know, what am I doing? This really isn't working for me. So you never know individual to individual when a person will come to a place to where all of a sudden the construct of their life is they just don't really buy it anymore. You know, they're at that change point. And the point is, gosh, you know, we're taught a whole story of life culturally that is that, you know, it's like this, it's like a living stage show when you're born into the world. And everybody is, pretty much everyone, is following the same script of life and value and responsibility and, you know, what you need to do in order to be happy. That little list of, you know, go to school, make good grades, find a partner, you get in a relationship, you find a career, you make money, you buy a house, you have kids, you own some stuff, you go on vacation a couple weeks a year, and life is wonderful and you'll be happy. Well, not so much. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that stuff. Unless the life that you're living is not actually authentic. And when we're not living from our authenticity, when we're not living from the deepest aspect, I heard you say earlier, I was on the line for a while listening to you, you know, unless we're living from our heart and soul and the truth of who we really are, not what we believe about ourselves, but that absolute truth of who we really are, if we're not living and creating a life from that place, then of course there is always going to be anxiety and fear and I think a sense of a lack of fulfillment because we're not expressing who we were created to be in the first place.
You have in your book, I think it's part two, and I love you talk about making an essential connection to truth, and you're just even touching on it now, that's so important to connect with our own truth. Can you touch on that, making an essential connection to truth?
Well, again, it is, you know, each one of us is a unique aspect of creation. We're, and I just so deeply respect that. And that's come about over the last 15, 16 years of, you know, of my life and my experience. And that deepest truth of who we really are. And from my point of view, the deepest aspect of truth of what I am as consciousness, you know, as an aspect of God, is that I am an aspect of the one that created me. And there is no separation, period, in that deep soul level place of ours. And that's not something that someone else can tell you about. And it's, you know, it's not something that I believe that a process will help you uncover. I believe that it's very mystical. It's very mysterious. I think, you know, and different people come into that connection and relationship with themselves in different ways. And that's the beauty of it to me, is that, you know, we humans have yet to come up with a system or a process or a program that guides people back to their authenticity. You know, the native peoples had entire cultures built around that connection. That was the point of, you know, of the rites of passage from being a child into a young adult and, you know, then taking on your role and responsibility as an adult and the relationship of ceremony to the mystery and the relationship to the natural world and to creation and to the spirit people and to all of these multidimensional aspects of life that we're surrounded by and we are a part of, and that our culture has just completely written off. You know, so the ancient peoples, the native peoples, were very aware and lived in relationship with the truth of consciousness and light and creation. You know, I mean, and you know, you can, Jesus spoke of it, Buddha spoke of it, all the masters have spoken of it, that, you know, we are the light. We're not the body. We're not the thoughts. We're not the roles. We're not the identities that we create. We're not our job description. We're not, my name's Lee and I'm an addict. We're not that. We live the experience of all that stuff. And we do attempt to define ourselves by that stuff and to judge ourselves and each other according to all that stuff. And all that stuff is not the truth of what we are. It is what we are doing, or it is what we are getting our attention to, or what we are believing. So, you know, in that scenario, there's a lot of misidentification going on among us. And when you give your faith, when I give my faith to what I believe, that faith makes that belief really powerful, and then I need to protect those beliefs. So I do my best to live by them, by those beliefs. I do my best to defend them, because the mind will ruthlessly defend its belief systems. You know. So it's tricky, and it, gosh, you know, I've just kind of come to a place in the last couple of years where I'm like, you know what, y'all, it would serve us, I think, to stop calling personal work work. It's not really work. Yeah. It's a calling to come back to your own heart and soul and truth. It's a privilege. You know, it's a gift. And so, you know, it's just our journey. Everything is not a struggle. We struggle and we have, you know, the war on this and the war on that. It's just insane. Yeah. It's like, let's try to relax into letting go. And let's just lay down all this fight and all this struggle and all this friction that we seem to need. We need, if it's not a battle, we don't think it's worthy of our attention.
Right. I was thinking that the other day, but I was thinking of surfing. Like when you talk to surfers, they don't say, "Well, I conquered that wave." You know, I conquered. You know, it's like, no, I got. You know, there's a very disrespect of getting, you know, one with it. I like what you said too about the allowing, because I recently realized, just about 2 weeks ago, as a matter of fact, that I've been trying to surrender. You know, I've got to surrender. I've got to let go. I've got to let go. And now I've been moving into the space of just allowing what is. And it's interesting because, like you're saying, this trying to do or make it work, I was really getting this worked up about trying to surrender to something or, you know, I got to let go. But then allowing what is, the surrender automatically happened.
Yeah, well, you know, the truth of, like, the integrity of who I am as a human being, I've done a lot of ridiculous things in my life, and you know, I've done a lot of, I've just lived a lot of stuff, okay? And even in my sickest, even in, you know, my most out of control, the integrity of who I really am never went anywhere. I just had no conscious relationship with the truth of who I am. My relationship was all wrapped up in my ego. It was wrapped up in fear. It was wrapped up in, you know, in trying to be good enough. It was wrapped up in the story and the personality of who I really believed I was. And so it's like I had taken myself prisoner. You know, when I went to treatment, when I checked into a treatment center, a lot of that was validated because, you know, basically I was told, well, your name's Lee and you're an addict and you suffer from these diagnoses, and this is what you are, and now if you want to be okay or get better, you need to live your life by the rules and the guidelines of a recovering person. So here's a new identity for you. You are now a recovering person.
Now you have another label. It could be, you know, one other label.
And if you want to be accepted by society as a recovering person, you're going to have to follow the rules because all good recovering people do it this way. And here's how you do that. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I was so, like you say in the 12-step rooms, I was so sick and tired of being sick and tired that I was like, you know what, okay, I'll do about anything. But that didn't last long. And I said, you know what, this is not really true. Because something happened to me when I decided that I was going to change my life. Some aspect of my integrity really came forward, and I just would not accept what people told me just because that would allow me to fit in. I was like, you know what? I'm 41 years old. I'm not doing anything. I'm not. It's going to have to feel correct in my heart, or I'm not owning it. I may play the game with you because I don't want to go back to what I was doing, but I'm not buying your story of what I am. I'm going to have to sort this out for myself. And I think that's our integrity coming forward. And a lot of people can relate to that. You know that. God, you don't want to keep drinking and drugging and doing whatever it is you're doing that's bringing so much misery on you and everyone that loves you. You want to stop that. But do I really have to one more time give my identity of myself up to someone else's opinion of what I need to do now to be good enough for this new ball? And I just never could go.
How did you come to that? Was it contemplation? Was it just because it didn't feel right, felt too another label, too constricted, someone's identification of you?
Well, I really gave 100% to wanting to sort this out. And I intentionally said sort it out. I didn't say figure it out.
Okay.
You know, because this thing about, well, we need to figure all this stuff out means that, okay, well, I'm going to work with that one-dimensional aspect of my mind and my reason, and I'm going to come up, you know, I'm going to create a new structure according to the intellect and the reason, which is kind of crazy. So, you know, I wanted to sort it out, and I made a deal in all of my praying, you know, to spirit, to God, to whatever you want to call it, and all of my asking for help. I just regularly said, you know, just help me find my way out of this mess, whatever it is. If the opportunities will present themselves for me to learn and to grow and to move on and to move forward, if you'll present me with those opportunities, I will do my best to pay attention and say yes, whatever it is. So, you know how life is. If you really sincerely ask for something, you better watch out because it's going to show up. So I got involved in a lot of different things, and it's in my story. I mean, I started going to Course in Miracles groups, and I got involved in a therapy group with a therapist in Nashville, and he had a group of people that met every other week, and I went to that group, and I was going to some 12-step, I was going to 12-step meetings, and I was reading everything I could get my hands on, all kind of spiritual books from a whole array of points of view, and things just unfolded, opportunities came, and that's when I realized that, if we want our life to be different, then we have to stop clinging to the life that we've been living. It's like something's got to go somewhere, you got to let go, you got to relax into it, you got to allow life to be different if it's going to be different. And that's tricky, it's scary.
Yeah, and what was the impetus for your writing the book Spirit Discovery Medicine Bag?
It's kind of a funny story. It parallels what I just said. I wrote the first half of the book, which is my story. I literally wrote that as an assignment. I worked with Don Miguel Ruiz for 3 years in what Miguel called a dreaming group. We met one weekend a month for 3 years, and one of the assignments Miguel gave us was to write our life story. And that's an old shamanic practice. It's called recapitulation, where you work back through the entire story of your life. You put it all down on paper. And you're not writing it to be published. You're writing it to shift that energy and to recall all that energy and all those experiences. So I wrote it, but when I set out to write it, I thought to myself, okay, If I'm going to basically be writing my biography, I'm going to write it in a format that if I can ever get it published or ever need it, I'll have it in a format I can use. And then Mary and I got together, Mary Faulkner, the co-writer of the Medicine Bag book, Mary and I got together and decided that we were going to write something that was of our experiences and our point of view after years of working with people in recovery and in treatment centers and stuff, that we wanted to put it into writing, a guidebook to relaxing into reclaiming your own truth and authenticity and re-experiencing life. And so we actually wrote the second half of the book first, and then we were working on that, and Mary said, I was a copywriter for a while. I was in the graphic design and advertising business, and I used to write copy for different things. And she said, you're really good at one-liners, so come up with some quotes, because quotes will tie this book together. And I said, I have this whole story of mine. And so Mary said, well, send it to me. So I emailed it to her, and she called me back, and she said, God, this story is great. We should just put your story in the first half of the book, because it ties together all the rest of the chapters. So it was kind of magic how it worked out. So if you're a writer out there, don't ever throw anything away. Keep it. You never know when you might be able to reframe it or use it.
Good point. I think chronologizing what you've gone through and putting it out there, it also makes it very sacred, because everybody's path is so sacred. Whatever, all parts of it, are very sacred. I love the story. And I love the combination also of the exercises in the book, the focus on the truth. I think that's such a takeaway for people, myself included, by the way, for everybody today, that, getting back to your authentic self and your truth and listening to yourself if something doesn't seem to be fitting. I like also, Lee, what you said. We've got only like 1 minute left, but I love what you said about you were able to still be in those groups. You didn't have to cut off. But you reframed it in your own mind that I'm not identifying with this. I'm not going to be stuck with this label, this limiting label. But yet it sounds like you didn't cut off either.
No, well, it's, you know, it's important to realize that you don't have to drink the Kool-Aid in order to get the benefit of participating in a practice. You know, you don't have to become a Buddhist. You don't have to be born again. You don't have to become, you know, a 12-step fundamentalist in order to benefit from the practice and to take what feels right to you and, you know, like they say, take what fits and leave the rest. And just living that way in itself, just making that commitment to yourself is a reclaiming of your own integrity, because then you're making the conscious decision that I am not going against myself just to fit in anymore.
I love that. Not going against myself just to fit in. Powerful. Lee, I'd love to, I think you had called in earlier on Skype or something. For some reason, I didn't see your number, but I have an open invite to come back. I love what you're sharing. I think it's just, not even in these last half hours, just so beneficial for everyone. And, of course, listeners, the book we're talking about is Spirit Recovery Medicine Bag, a transformational guide for living happy, joyous, and free. We're talking today with Lee McCormick, and the co-author is Mary Faulkner also. Thanks so much, Lee, for taking your time to be with us today. So appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. And you can reach me through spiritrecovery.com, spiritrecovery.com,
oh,
and I'm also on Facebook.
Oh, great. Okay, so listeners, people can connect. On Facebook, is it Spirit Recovery?
Yeah, there's a Spirit Recovery Facebook page, and I'm on there personally. It's Lee Richard McCormick.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, Lee. Thanks for being with us.
You bet. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Wow, some great takeaways. Wow, what a very insightful guest. Lots of takeaways in the chat, too. That's some really goodies, some goodies in there, some good insights. Love you all bunches. Smoochie. Just one of my Wednesdays with you. And talk to you next Wednesday. If you didn't get on air, didn't get your question answered, please call back. We usually 12 to like 12:50-ish, sometimes 1, we went a little over. We have an Ask Michelle section. Questions, comments, email questions, guest suggestions, all things Awakenings, you can email us at awakeningsradio@gmail.com. Otherwise, big hug. Until next week, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.